Welcome to episode 150 of
Musing and Amusing.
And today is Monday, February 3rd, 2014.
No, what's that? And the Seahawks won the Super Bowl! Second Charles Foster the third!
I'm actually pretty sure the Broncos
nope.
By at least nine.
You mean it already happened? They already won. They already won.
I'm pretty sure the Broncos
by at least
won.
Nine.
God, we should actually nine. Just. We should just call. Oh, man. This is what we're doing. We're recording who wins the Super Bowl by what margin, and we're making bets on it now, and it's recorded, so we can't go back on it. Charles is a 49ers fan hardcore, and they're huge rivals.
Not hot Carl, the Aqua Teen Carl, the stone cold lock of the century of the week. Did he do this? Did he do it for the Super Bowl already?
I don't know.
All right.
This is John, and I play
minions. This is Keith, and I'm going to play Signar at TempleCon just in case Striker 3 is really good.
This is Deja Vu. It's a glitch in the Matrix.
Anyways, this is Adam Fox, and I'm referred to as Fox, and I play Crix.
Yep, then this is Chad, and I'm referred to as Chad.
Yep.
And I play Trolls.
A.K.A. Gad Troll Friend.
A.K.A. Gad Troll Friend. A.K.A. the nice one.
Which people understand. It's like me being a daughter. Exactly the same
thing. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I agree.
We will be the best superhero team ever. The Ducker. The nice one. And
Crump.
I am Crump, the wild card. No, I was just quoting It's Always Sunny. I'll play Circle, but not at TempleCon.
Because you're not going to be there.
Correct.
All right. On our episode today.
You didn't necessarily. It's a long car ride. A lot of stuff could happen.
John,
in that
don't,
car ride.
Just don't talk.
I'm saying it's likely that you'll say something stupid over the course of 24 hours or however long we're going to be in a car.
The first thing that I'm going to talk about for a bit here is revisiting a topic that I wasn't properly briefed on the last time I was asked to talk about it. Thanks, Colin. Was a
actually. You know what, Colin? I'm docking you half your pay.
Actually, I want to stop for a second. Charles, if the Seahawks actually won the Super Bowl, I'm sorry and I love you.
Charles, if the Seahawks absolutely won the Super Bowl, then yeah, I'm actually really sorry
because
I hate the Seahawks.
Yep.
I was going
to
say something.
So. The topic in question was originally it was how does Crix play or Crix anti Crix or something like that.
Yeah, it was literally how does Crix play?
It was anti Crix Crix is what it was.
You know, anti Crix.
Hold on, let me just because we're being confused. The original question was how does Crix deal with all of the people that are gunning for Crix in the meta? Basically,
that's what the question is supposed to be.
Right.
Yes, indeed.
Originally, but we approached it as how does Crix play in the mirror, which is a completely different question.
Indeed.
So, because somebody has led us with their notes and they provide us, who shall remain nameless.
Good job, Fox.
At any rate, so this is sort of talking about how it's really sort of a question of just how do you play Crix.
Yeah, like that's what I was thinking. Literally everyone's gunning from Crix from the get-go.
It's pretty common to see a lot of Crix hate, so it's just sort of become... It's kind of common practice for Crix players to try to come up with something different. And there are two basic... In my mind, there are two basic ways to approach Crix hate as a Crix player. You can either try to do something wildly different than is normally anticipated from Crix. And this is a strategy that I can't speak to with a great deal of... authority, because I don't do that. Tom Guan does that.
Tom Guan!
That's pretty common. The casters that exemplify that would be more of the Morten Ebro or Epic Scar running more Warjacks. And a lot of times that... And I guess you can do it with Witch Coven, too. And a lot of times that just sort of boils down to assassinations. A lot of times it's going to end up being assassinations, which is fine. That's a way to play.
It also, like, stop counters a lot of Crix hate, which is infantry sweepers. If you're not playing a lot of infantry, you're sort of taking the teeth out of your opponent's infantry stack. Although I will
Right. That's where I get hung up. And the route that I sort of subscribe to is Cricks harder than they anti-Cricks. You just
gotta. When we. Never mind.
They're like, I took enough models to clear. Or I took an entire army that's dedicated to clearing 20 models a turn. And you're like, I got 60 models. So in three turns.
And I bring back 10 a turn.
Your whole army is going to be dead.
Keith's plan is to be the Andrew WK of Cricks. And just Cricks harder every day.
Yeah, you just got to Cricks harder.
Well, I think, actually, it's interesting. Your Epic Denny list, in a lot of ways, is really hard on Cricks. Really hard on anti-Crick stuff because of the way Satixis Raiders interact with guns.
Yeah.
And the fact that they get there really fast.
Yeah. So the Denegra list is one example. It's got 20 Satixis Raiders. So what I do a lot of the times is I come up and feed on all your guns and then engage them at reach with Satixis Raiders.
Wait. Did I say 40K a second ago?
I don't know.
You said Andrew WK.
Okay. I'm tired.
I didn't know what you were talking about. I just agreed with you and moved.
You don't know who Andrew WK is? Why isn't Lance on this podcast?
The name sounds vaguely familiar.
Lance.
At any rate, so the Denegra list, that sort of thing is an option, like engage the guns, get there too fast. That's one way to Cricks harder than the anti-Cricks, is just speed. Another good example would be Scar 1 and a Bane spam, because you're like, one turn, your guns just don't matter. Like, I really, unless it's snipers, like you don't get to do any work. Like, I've just got armor 21 Banes. Sometimes they're armor 23. Theragraith is gotcha. Like, we're just coming in.
What do you think about...
And you can supplement that with some Raiders as well.
Speaking of Cricks harder, just thinking about it, I think Gorshade 2 actually could be pretty strong in that his feat brings back so many Banes, and then his elite cadre, once they're all stuck in, like... It's a lot of ground to make up.
Yeah, Gorshade 3 is another option. I've seen Dave do it quite a bit. Or Gorshade 2.
Gorshade 3 is not an option.
Especially if you play the theme force that gives you two Bane Thrall UAs.
Yep.
And you're just like, if I get Bane Thralls into you, like, welcome to GG. And you're like, the one unit of Bane Knights you took is stealthy as well. So you've just got three stealth units. Just Crick harder. Like,
yeah. The most ridiculous thing I've ever seen, by the way, is I watched Dewey playing High Reclaimer against Dave playing...
Oh, no.
Gorshade 2. And Dewey kept reviving... No, it wasn't High Reclaimer. I'm sorry. It was Testament. Testament. And Dewey kept reviving living models, and Dave kept converting them into Banes. And at the end of the game, he had 79 Banes on the table. He ran out of models.
Gross.
79. There was a picture of it.
Yeah.
And apparently there was exactly one spot on the table that was capable of fitting a small base, and it was exactly 3 inches away from Testament of Menoth. And Dewey did not see it.
We're like, Dewey, it's a sea of, like, stuff, and, like, one blank... Like, you look at the table, you can't not see it.
More Banes.
So Dewey could have won that game by teleporting Tom into that little nook and then...
And then feeding and charging
with, like, a bajillion focus, but...
Ah.
Instead, there were 79 Banes on the table. And he decided to just sit there, I guess.
He was just in a sea of Banes.
No, I think he tried to spell him to death with ashes, but it didn't work out.
It's a low percentage. Anyway.
Or not ashes.
Dust.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there are several different options for Cricksing harder. Epic Asphyxius can also sort of... He doesn't really Cricks harder. He just brings his toolkit to bear. And between clouds and, like, one good Bile Thrall purge, you can usually get out from under the oppression of the gun lines. So
I've definitely seen him also... the other thing that Asphyxius puts on the table is the assassination as an out to a bad matchup. And I've definitely seen a lot of games, not necessarily by you, but by other Lich 2 players where... They're outclassed in the matchup, but they win the matchup through getting an assassination with Lich 2.
That's harder now.
It still happens, though. But, I mean, I watched Aaron do it at Daikon. Remember when he got you?
That was before the nerf because he brought back two axes.
And Tartarus.
So he was actually able to hit my caster instead of rolling mat 6 compared to 8 or 9. Pretty big jump. Yeah, the assassination killing casters is far less significant now, except for against like those Def 14 casters or 15s. I mean, Def 16 at that point, you're just like, like.
I haven't played against Lich since the nerf. I'm so excited to do it.
It's still.
It's still pretty bad. I
mean,
but, oh my god.
Yeah, still can't figure out how to deal with Biothralls.
By the way,
roll tough check.
I want to finish this topic, but before I forget, I want to send a shout out to Aaron because
congratulations to our friend Aaron from New Zealand.
Yep, because he won CanCon.
He did,
which is I think the biggest event in Australia.
Hey, if it's
not one. If it's not the biggest, it's one of the biggest. And he said it was pretty cool because nobody knew who he was until he started winning all his rounds. And then
we know who he was.
Yeah, but then they were like, "Oh, you were the guy that was on the Muse cast."
Nice.
And that's how they figured out who he was. So that was pretty sweet. But yeah, congratulations to him. He scored something
from Tasmania. Yeah. Whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
He will travel back here and light John's house on fire.
No, I mean, he is legitimately coming back to hang out with us. So that's getting done.
Oh, that's going to be bad and he's awkward when he's like, I'm not from New Zealand.
He's not going to care. He's so
Tasmania
chill.
Tasmania is like a province of New Zealand.
It's like part of it.
Anyway.
Jesus Christ.
He scored something like 25 out of a 30 possible control points.
Damn.
And had a 6-0 record.
Damn.
So, I mean, when you score that many control points,
Aaron,
you're playing.
Scary.
You are playing really well. I mean, you can't score that many control points without playing really well.
Do we know what his pairing was?
It was three lists. He had Lich.
Which one? I'm just saying.
Yeah, it was Lich 2, Denny 2, and maybe Denegra 2? Denny 2.
Scar 2?
Denny Scar 1, maybe.
Scar 1?
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure.
Well, pretty solid 3.
It's pretty dumb that I just thought about this the
He
other
had
day.
P. Denny, Denny 1, and Warwitch Denegra. three Warcasters.
I don't know.
I would play
it's a pretty
that
good
three
pairing.
It's
pretty good.
I realized this the other day, but Lich is the only caster in the game. So Crix has, what, like 6 Liches?
Yeah.
And he's the only caster in the game that's referred to as something that could be 6 other casters.
And there's never any
confusion. Yeah, not in any, no doubt in anyone's mind when you say they played Lich. They're like, which one? Terminus, Venothrax, Serpentine. That says something about the power level of that
Asphyxius
caster.
1, Asphyxius 3.
Which one is it? Yeah.
God, I never thought about that. Yeah. That's really funny, though.
Yeah. It was pretty dumb. None of them come close.
To be fair, nobody asks you which Harbinger you're playing.
It's because there's only one. It's literally one of them. What? That doesn't even make any sense.
No, it doesn't.
Oh, that was really stupid.
All right. So, yeah, I mean, it's just, it's a tough topic, how to play against the anti-Crix, because you do have to do something different. In one way or another, you have to take into account the most common anti-Crix stratagems, and you have to have a way to play around it. You can't just be like, I'll just take the models that I like with the caster I like, and hopefully it will work out.
Actually, another really good...
Our good friend Fox here, you took Lich 1, didn't you, for a while?
Yeah, for a little while, I did.
Just for that good old pop feet kill, like... All of the armor 11 things.
Yeah, Lich 1 is actually another good one because he has that answer to a lot of the guns in the game, like the gun mages, the Nis Hunters.
Nis Hunters, yep.
They will just all implode to his feet.
Yeah.
So you kind of have to. Well, the thing you do have to do is make sure to get that feat out early enough. Because I played a game against a friend of ours, Alex Grant, when he was playing Lich 1 as well.
Whoa. Friend of yours.
Oh, Chad doesn't like him.
No,
which is perfectly understandable.
I was
going to
say, wait,
yeah,
because
Chad's a nice one.
I just saw an opportunity to troll Alex, and I took it.
Again, from the nice one, just pointing it out.
And I was playing my
troll because I love.
I was playing my P-Kane list, which is a pretty about as like mean to Crix, to standard Crix as you can be.
2 units of long gunners with access to snipe kills.
2 units of long gunners and the gun mages and P-Kane and the Black 13th.
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
It's about as bad as P. Haley.
And a Stormwall. Like, it's about as bad as it can be. And he didn't feat early enough, but if he had, he might have had a legitimate chance in that game. instead of like two turns of the long gunners going, and it was pretty academic. But if you get Lich into position early and it can keep him alive, like Asphyxius 1 can absorb, can just blow away a lot of the guns.
So
yeah, he's really good against...
We see infantry sweepers often as an answer to Crix, but we also see things that deny melee.
Mm-hmm.
So things like P-Haley, things like Zealots are an excellent option against Crix.
Mm-hmm.
So something like P-Denny with a lot of guns can also be something different.
Yeah, you can try to outshoot them, and that works sometimes. That works against some of it. So a lot of times the tournaments, I will, for a while, I would take two lists that were, and that were good against anti-Crix in different respects. Because like for the traditional gun lines, I would play Epic Asphyxius and just be like clouds, and eventually a Bile Thrall, and that's GG. And then against the like melee denial, I would take P Denny with. Sure. Pirates and other types of guns.
That's actually something that I don't actually know, because I didn't like know you very well when we first like started. You know, basically it was at TempleCon when I got to know you really well, and you were playing the Denny Pirates list. And thinking about that list seems very anti-Crix tech, right? Because most of the Powtown shooting in the game is going to hit whatever Crix infantry you brought and kill it. Right, because most of the factions that have POW 10 shooting also conveniently have Deadeye. So it seemed a very good list option to then have a list with a lot of recursion and a pirate boat in it, because each gunshot that goes into a pirate on average requires now two gunshots instead of just one.
Yeah, or three.
And turns right. into a mechanical.
I mean, average, right. So if we literally just, right, two shots kills one pirate. If sure. we're assuming that you know, coin flips are 50% across the board. And right, and then it turns into a mechanothrall. So it's like one model is three gunshots.
Right.
And that doesn't even count if any of the models you can toting those guns get thrown in the bag to become pirates, because that also happens. That list is really gross.
It used to be. With how Rock Bottom now works, the quote-unquote clarification kick in the nuts.
Right, you can't coin the same unit twice.
I can't use two coins, so the pirates don't do as much as they used to.
Because like, they can't be money-shotted and toughed? Because
I can't, yeah, tough and money-shot or tough and payday.
Yeah.
So it's tougher to make that list work now, but it's still good.
Yeah.
I think
now I see a little different versions, though. I see like Nis Hunters, Boom Howlers.
Yeah. Same idea.
Yeah. High quality guns, actually better quality guns, but less durability.
Yeah. About the same quality guns.
I think Nis bows are higher quality than pirate pistols.
They are,
but yeah, just true.
They just straight up are.
Yeah,
I meant with boom howlers.
Also better than the pistols, right?
No. Yeah, the same,
except yeah, sure.
So yeah, it's tough. There's no easy answer.
It's not that tough. I see plenty of Crix players do fine. You just play through it.
Yeah, yeah, and then that's eventually what it comes down to. So that's the one of the things about this Epic Denegra theme force, is I'm not sure how effective it is as an anti-Crix, against the anti-Crix stuff. Well, it does sort of fall into the trap of like, oh god, POW 10 shooting is real bad. Real
Maybe
bad.
The key is to take like Death Jacket and Nightmare.
Possibly.
So.
That's interesting. Anyway, that's how you kind of deal with all the hate that's in for Crix. I mean, Crix has a lot of unique options. Like, yeah,
My favorite answer is Crix harder.
I do kind of like that, actually.
Yeah. God damn, how do you not know Andrew W.K.? Now I want to get a picture of you in a white t-shirt with blood dripping down your nose, like all over your face, and it just says Crix harder.
I probably know. Like, if I saw a picture of it.
I bet if you saw that picture with a pony, you'd be like, oh, I know what this is. Dang it. Right.
Next on our agenda for today, we are going to talk about Chad has a list buster.
Yeah!
We keep calling it list buster or pin my list.
I don't care.
Pimp My List Buster. Problem solved.
No.
List My Pimp?
List My Pimp?
That's terrible. Why don't we just call it a Pimp Buster?
What exactly is a Pimp Buster? Is that like a baseball bat?
Someone look that up on Urban Dictionary. See if it's a, see if it's a real thing.
Pimp Buster is a real thing.
I'm doing it.
Oh, my God.
To the List Buster.
Somebody call Nathan Hoffman. I'm sure if he doesn't know what the definition is, he'll make up one that is incredibly entertaining.
So you did a... Crump, you did a tournament last week. One of your scrambles.
Did.
Scrambles the Death Dealer.
By the way, those have been going very well, I think. Ish.
Yeah.
I've only been called... once now, demanding to be made play.
Brent Holdstock sent me a message and was like, hey, how are those going? And I was like, great, you should do them. And he's like, okay, I will.
I love playing Dota with that guy.
I just love
wish
that
I
guy.
Was doing it tonight.
I would love doing with anything with that guy, to be honest with you.
Yeah. Anything?
Pretty much.
pretty
amazing.
So I, at the last minute, got told that I had to play in this thing, so I pulled out my phone and got down to the List Busters, the next List Busters in line, and then I paired it up with the Miserable Meat Mountain because I'd never played that before, and I wanted to just see how it worked, or see if it worked.
Yeah,
and it doesn't work so great against pirates. Let's just leave it at that.
Yeah, I watched that game, and it didn't.
Also, my list was. So it was a list submitted by Mr. Mayhem. The list was Jarl. Battle group was Bomber, Slag, and two Impalers. And then the rest of the list had a Rune Bearer as well. I'm not sure if you count that in the battle group or not. The rest of the list was max unit of Burrowers, max unit of Nis Hunters, Fellcaller, Stunscribe Chronicler, Whelps, Witchdock, Croc, Swamp Gobbers, and Feralgeist. What I noticed immediately upon looking at this list was there's a lot of support.
Yeah, even for a troll list. I mean,
and it's the thing is, like, a lot of support in troll, a lot of typical troll support is kind of half support, half business. Where this is like a lot of pure support.
There's literally 14 points,
right,
of support.
11 of pure support.
Right. Yeah, that's a lot. Ended up playing it against Lance's epic Vlad list that he's been testing out. And that ended up
pretty bad for Jarl.
Be a really bad matchup.
Wind blast!
Like, Jarl, I think that this list has potential. I think that it has a lot of potential, actually. I did a lot of work on the turn that I was going to pop my feet. Or the turn that I did pop my feet. The thing is, Jarl's feet is actually really, really integral to his game plan. Mm-hmm. Like, he really needs it. And it's really bad if you're playing against a faction that can ignore it. And there are a couple, Legion, and, you know, then a couple of, like, random smattering of other casters here and there that can do things to ignore clouds, like Epic Sevi. And it turns out Epic Vlad, because he has Wind Blast.
Who has Wind Blast? That's
and
amazing.
Grail.
But when it gives you the opportunity to... clear
ignore
up
a feat.
12 inches of line of sight.
Yeah, no, it's awesome. Don't get me
it's
wrong.
Amazing.
It's amazing. Just one of those things that you don't think.
I mean, so as soon as I put Jarl down on the table, I was like, well, maybe I'll just be able to do enough work that it will not matter. But it didn't. No, you can't. Like, I mean, I killed everything within 12 inches of all of my things, and it didn't matter because he can just pop feet, run guys. Like, he only killed like one model on his feet turn. Like, he killed like two Nis Hunters, and but then I was, you know, being engaged by feated
Doom Reavers,
and there was an armor 25 Warjack, you know, coming down my face.
That wasn't any better.
Yeah. I mean, it is what it is, right?
I wish Maxton was here, because I'm pretty sure what was going through your mind was, I don't want to say throat. I don't want to say throat. I want to... face?
Sure. And then behind it, a unit of shock troopers, which this list has really not a lot of armor.
Not answers.
This list can't crack any real armor. I can kill the unit of shock troopers over the course of the game with boosted POW-12s and the bomber.
Yeah.
But it will take several turns, and I literally just have no way of killing the Devastator.
I mean, you and I were talking about this list when the game was over, and aside from the immediate like feeling of this is way too much support, I was like, the Felcaller and the Chronicler affect burrowers.
The Chronicler, I'm fine with the Felcaller affecting the burrowers because the burrowers are basically useless without it.
Sure. I mean, it's just nice to have something else.
Chronicler, I feel like, is just way too much. Like, because the Felcaller, even by itself, it's still a weapon master with two attacks. And the burrowers are really useless without him. Yeah. So, like, the burrowers are basically a 9-point unit if you're not going to take a Felcaller for anything else, because you have to take a Felcaller for them.
If the Nyss Hunters were Fenblades or Creel Warriors, I would agree with the Chronicler.
Sure, absolutely, 100%. And the Chronicler does a lot of good things for Jarl because it turns on Weld Secrets or, you know, Quicken for +4 defense. Like, it's just really good.
Yep.
But
and with the two Impalers.
And two Impalers, you can get a good amount of Charge of the Trolls. But Charge of the Trolls, probably not going to happen with just one unit.
Right.
And then Cure's Tragedy is not the best in this list. Like, it's just annoying, but it's not. There's not, like, any really inherent synergy because there's nothing that Jarl really wants to cast or there's nothing that getting knocked down is going to really enable.
I wish there was one more unit in this list.
I know. So what So what my suggestion was get rid of the Slag Troll. Or what did I suggest? Yeah, I suggested a get rid of the it was the Slag Troll, or maybe it was just an Impaler, the Swamp Gobbers, the Feral Geist, and the Chronicler, and then get that's 9 points, and then you can get a unit of Gators, Gatorman Posse. I think that might be better. Then you have another unit that benefits from Quicken. You don't have a Creel Stone in this list, so that's a unit that does fine without the Creel Stone. It gives you a little bit of beef, and it also gives you a little bit more armor cracking than the list, you know. Because an Impaler is not going to help you crack armor, you know, by itself. And then you can still buff up the Bomber if you need to in melee. You know, you still have a Slag Troll to help with the non-armor 25 high armor war jacks.
Right.
So I don't know. I'm not sure. But it did make me want to play Jarl more. A lot more. He's really fun. Like, and I think he's really, really good. Like, if his feat, I mean, if Vlad 2 didn't have Wind Blast, it would have been a very good feat. Because I killed probably like 8 Doom Reavers. Like, and then both Kyazi Eliminators, both units of Kyazi Eliminators, actually. Dang. That was pretty cool. It was fun. My burrowers burrowed first turn, and then they popped up, and all, like, 8 of them just popped up as far back as they possibly could behind my entire army, and 2 of them popped out in front, just in command. And then I had the unit run, and they all kind of backed up a little bit, except for those 2, which ran forward to be within a 4-inch blast radius of both Kyazi Eliminators.
Bombs away!
Yeah, so then I could have my bomber aim, throw at them in the back, and then boost blast damage on both of the...
Nice.
Very cool.
Yeah, got all 4 of them. So, I mean, it was a really good, like, I got... So I think on my feet turn, I got at least four Doom Reavers out of each unit, both units of Kyazi Eliminators, and a random Outrider, a Grey Lord Outrider that I just had Jarl just shoot. So it was not a bad feat turn.
No, that's good.
And then if I had my entire army blocked from line of sight, you know, he wouldn't have been able to do anything. But like I said, even not being able to make that many attacks, like, it was still just a bad situation for me to have this armor 25 warjack in my face with nothing, you know, for me to do about it, and a unit of shock troopers bearing down on me. So, yeah.
Actually a legitimate problem in his Vlad 2.
Well, I think it's probably just a bad matchup for that list. I don't think the list is as bad as I performed with it. I think that the list has a lot of game against a lot of different things, like especially like any infantry swarms that are vulnerable to the Nyss Hunters and the magic bullets are going to just evaporate over 2 turns of shooting that you're going to normally get with him after you pop your feet.
Where this list really excels is in the gunline-on-gunline fight because of the feet.
Yeah, and because of Jarl's ability to do significant work.
And because of Quicken. Like, these are all really good things.
So it's not a bad list. I just... Too many support. Too much support. I feel like you should try and pare it down somehow.
Hmm.
And he has reasons for the battle group. I don't hate the battle group either. Like, and I kind of it's just the easiest thing to pair points out of right now. So,
I think I would drop the slag, the whelps, and then something.
Feral guys,
or the swamp gobbers, and put in something. I was thinking Fenblades plus UA, but because then the Chronicler becomes a lot better. When you have them in the list.
Yeah.
But
Fenblades plus UA or like Boomhauer.
Yeah.
Fenblades plus UA is 10 points, but...
Yeah, well, you'd have to drop a little more. But the Gators are definitely a good option.
I mean, they're just really good with Jarl. And then, yeah.
So, actually, you said you really enjoyed playing Jarl. That actually brought me back to a conversation that I think is a really interesting discussion topic. If you guys want to go into it really quick. I was talking to Jay the other day, and he asked me if I had to pick a faction to try and win a national convention with, which one would I pick? Mm-hmm. And I kind of answered, definitely not Krix, because everybody's gunning for them. Not Legion, because I play Legion, and I don't really love their playstyle. And then we went through this process, and what I settled on was Menoth, Trolls, and Scorn.
Mm-hmm.
And they were really, really surprised to hear me say Trolls and Scorn, and my answer for that was I really felt like both Trolls and Scorn are very deep in their options.
Agreed.
For both their casters and their units and beasts, that you have a lot of flexibility, that as the meta shifts and as it changes, you have the ability to respond, and there's a lot of, I feel like, unexplored ground in those factions. Maybe not, but I just feel like you can build really good, well-rounded lists.
I mean, I feel like I've been breaking a lot of ground in Trolls over the last year and a half or 2 years or so, and there's still, like, I don't feel like there's any end in sight at all. Like, I'm still constantly coming up with new ways of doing things and new units I haven't, like, you know, I mean, scouts are still amazing, and I still have never seen them.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know what you guys think, but that was just my answer, that those were the three factions that I would consider. Menoth, just because it's my comfort zone, but then he had added the caveat, if you had an unlimited time to practice and get really good with the faction.
I saw him post that on Twitter, actually.
Yeah.
And Menoth was the first response that I, like, just immediately jumped to. Was like, yeah, if I could just practice infinitely, I feel like you could get good enough with Menoth that you could just never lose, because they can build so many caster pairings that just match that answer every single possible matchup.
And that faction,
that's a really good advantage.
I think we all immediately have that feeling about that faction, because it has so much. I don't care what my opponent's stuff like does. It's just like, you want to do this.
See, Trolls does that a little bit, but like, there's still a lot of stuff that you have to care. I find it interesting though that you did say Trolls. I'm not sure that I would have expected that. But
yeah, it's an interesting question. I feel like Signar might be part of my answer there.
Here's my issue with Signar, because Jay specifically asked me about that, and I feel like Signar does not have a great answer for a good dedicated brick.
Epic Kane.
It's okay. Depends.
So you're looking for a great answer, not okay.
I mean, depends on what...
They have some playable options.
Depends on what the brick is, because, like, Time Bomb against bricks can be devastating.
I agree, but,
you're not wrong, but bricks are so not part of the meta right now.
Yeah, but I think...
They've been kind of phased out of the meta.
I agree. But I think that they may come back this year somewhat. And I just...
I hope so.
Yeah, from my perspective, I was just like, man, that is I think it's kind of a glaring weakness for Signar. And they get away with Epic Haley and controlling things or doing just enough. But, I mean, I've seen you win games against a heavy brick just by assassinating. You know, like, I saw Watt lose Xerxes in a game that he had no business losing Xerxes in that game.
Right.
Right? And if you hadn't killed Xerxes, there was no way you were going to win that
game.
I was
like, Kane and 20 long gunners against this brick, this is not going to go well.
Can you just laser beam things to death? Just like, pew, pew.
Kane won?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was.
With the long gunners. Just like, 20 long gunners into that guy.
Yeah. If you do the math on those Satrati, it takes a double tap to kill a guy.
Yeah. That's fine. Two dudes a turn. That's good value. 20 points to kill two.
Yeah.
We got this.
I mean, if it's Colin, you know, it'll probably take them 5 turns to get to you, and then you're good.
Yeah,
that's not to say that I don't think Signar is perfectly capable of winning national conventions because you can, number one, get that assassination because they're pretty good at assassinating.
Yeah.
And number two, dodge bricks because they're not that prevalent right now.
I think trolls can be pretty good at assassinating too.
Yep.
Something that I was looking at after I played this, just because I kind of got the Jarl spark for a little bit. I'm not sure if I'm still going to keep it, but... was his theme force. I was just like, does he have a playable theme force? I saw some kind of interesting things, but I think it's ultimately disappointing. I'd never seen his theme force before. And he gets advanced move with his... he gets to take Creel Warriors, and then he gets advanced move with them.
So they're all in your face.
So they're 20... They're like the farthest up the table that trolls can get on turn one, even farther than Boomhauer's and Family Reunion.
Farther than Griselle?
Yeah. Yeah, because hers is basically advanced move.
Yeah.
She gets a free hoof it. So they get hoof it, and then they get
quicken.
So they can, you know, advanced move and then run 16 inches. The only thing about the theme force is there's too many restrictions to make it bad, in my opinion. Like, no Rune Bearer, for one, is
that's
really
good.
Bad. There's something else that was really bad that I'm trying to...
No Fel-Collars.
No Fel-Collar.
Fel-Collar was a deal breaker for me.
But I was just looking at that like, that could be interesting. Because you get two units of Scattergunner, or you get a free Scattergunner UA that ignores FA, so you could get two units of Scattergunners both with UA, which is pretty intriguing as well. But
particularly with the ability to, well, it's harder to cycle Quicken without the...
The one thing I wanted to note about his theme force is that it is named Highwayman.
It has no Highwayman.
But it does not include Trollkin Highwayman.
Seems fine.
What? Why? Okay.
Oh, man. You know what I should play at TempleCon? Hmm. I should build, like, a rock-solid Epic Haley and then take P. Kane's theme force.
The Hunters?
With the six Hunters.
How about you don't play Epic Haley?
Yeah, six Hunters.
You should fulfill your... New Year's resolution from last year.
Siege
play Trollblood theme forces.
Yeah, Gunbjorn.
I want to pick up and back into the like Signar that my brother and I own just so I can play that new Siege theme force.
Oh, with the Jillian Juniors.
Yeah, the Juniors. Oh, is that the name of the theme force? Jillian Juniors. Should be.
I mean, what factions did you guys all just immediately like? You two immediately said Menoth. How about you guys? What factions would you play? Would you want to be good with to try and win a national convention?
Tyranids.
Yeah?
Nids all the way.
Nids, baby.
Gosh. I think I might cross out Krix, even though I feel like I shouldn't.
Well, number one, if you win with Krix, you never get credit for it.
That never bothered me.
That should not factor in.
Keith's just Krix harder.
I went through a long period of time where not getting credit for my wins, and I was like, oh, who's got the trips?
Yep.
But... I still think I would probably go to Signar. Just because... Maybe Protectorate? But I'm always like, my problem with Protectorate is like the random caster loss. It just happens.
I got my caster killed.
And there's less and less you can do about it. Like, I feel like there's I have more options when I'm playing Signar to keep my caster safe.
Well, you have Arcane Shield.
Yeah, it's like shield. It's like clouds up, Arcane Shield, camp everything.
Shields up.
Shields up. You could potentially lean on the Menoth casters that aren't squishy.
There's a couple now.
Yeah, I mean, there's
with the addition of Krios 3, it's a little bit more interesting.
And Fiora 2, and that's pretty much it.
What about you, Fox?
Vindictus, obviously.
I have no idea. I'm probably not going to be winning any national events anytime soon, but...
I am either, but...
Fox has nids.
Well, I'm not even thinking about it, like...
For some reason, Retribution is jumping. Like, I've got this odd nagging thought about Retribution now.
Yeah. I kind of have that, too, but I'm not entirely sure. Actually, yeah. Yep.
I think...
Yep, because if I could just play Ron the bestest, I can lose.
Like, yeah... Max skill Ron seems like too hard to deal with.
Yeah. Yeah. If I was Josh Holt with Ron. But yeah.
But I'm just not sure, like, the second pairing, because I think the potential problem with Retribution is like you were talking about how Trolls and Protectorate have all that depth
yeah.
to answer shifting metas. I'm not sure that how much retribution can shift with the meta. I think they might be kind of in the Crix boat where it's just like ret harder.
Yeah.
That it works.
Ron harder.
I mean, if it ever got to the point where people were teching for retribution, like
yeah,
they would get teched right out of the meta, I feel like.
They'd get teched all the way gone. So as soon as, like, if you ever started making waves with retribution, you might get yourself into some trouble.
Yeah, that's interesting. Jay and I were talking today, and he made the comment that he thought that Circle was the most teched against faction, and I told him they were too. Right behind Crix. Crix is still the first thing that everybody thinks about.
That's not a discussion. Like, yeah. If you're talking about which faction gets hated the most, it's Crix.
Yeah, he agreed with me immediately after I said it. He was like, oh yeah, good point.
It's just it's funny to me.
Yeah, right?
I think, blah, 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 blah. Well, Crix. Oh, good point. I concede to your superior argument.
Who are you talking to?
Jay.
Jay, okay.
I spent a lot of time talking to Jay Nick and Trevor.
You thought Circle was what?
The most teched against. And Morvana 2 is certainly, a lot of people are going into tournaments now with a plan for Morvana 2. Like, yeah. That's definitely happening.
You have to. No.
Usually you fold that into your Crix plan.
Well, that's the problem right now is that if you have to, if you play a faction that has to have two different casters to answer Crix and Morvana 2, that's it. Yeah. That's your tournament strategy, and that sucks. I really hate that.
Yeah.
Because you're probably not building in your armor cracking.
Because,
I'm going to throw a curveball with Epic Kai.
For trolls, like, the Morvana 2 answer is Epic Doomy, right? And he's not the Crix answer.
Yeah.
So we're kind of screwed in that way, you know?
We should talk about answering Morvana 2 with trolls. There's got to be something else.
Besides Doomshaper? I'm sure that there...
I feel like there is.
I'm sure there probably is, but...
I feel like...
You could Doomshaper 1.
Grim 1 might not be...
I'm probably wrong about this, but I feel like Jarl might have some game. Because it either... It's the sort of like Harvey solution. Is it either she can't cut as much or die to magic bullets?
Isn't there that Cresselle 2 list you're playing with all the warders? Like the armor 23 warders for a turn would be pretty hard.
Someone was talking to me about that on Facebook. I can't remember who it was.
That answers Morvana, but I don't think you want that against Crix.
That's why I was somewhat.
Yeah, maybe.
Jarl, because he's pretty good against Crix between his feet and him killing.
God, Gristle 2 would be so good against Crix if half of your casters didn't have Ghost Walk.
Welcome to Peabalder! God dang it.
That was funny when we were talking with Nigel about the Denegra theme force. He's like, whatever, I'm just gonna drop rough terrain all over you, and I'm like, and then my Scarlock will ghost walk? And he's like,
yeah. Nigel's so cute. I love how he blows me up for your bad dojo.
Nice.
All right, is that all for today?
We had 45 minutes. We probably could squeeze in a couple.
Poor Fox.
Fox, you want to talk about Steelhead Rifleman?
What do you want to talk about, Fox?
Fox, what does the Fox say?
Oh my God!
Hey, I didn't sing it. I could have said, "What does the Fox say?"
Yeah, you just did.
Oh yeah.
It wasn't really. I don't really classify that as singing.
Yeah, no, it's more like wailing.
Yeah, it's definitely
it's
not
more
singing.
Like tone deaf wailing.
Yeah,
I'm the nice one, guys.
How about a pirate joke?
I don't have any pirate jokes.
There is no pirate joke.
Oh yeah, Max is sick this week, so we're gonna miss the pirate jokes. And by the way, if you guys could quit encouraging him, I would really appreciate it.
I'm sure that will happen.
You're not talking to us, right? Like you're talking.
No, I'm talking about the listeners that are like. Yeah.
I just saw at least one more post today that was, I want more pirate jokes.
You're a mod. Why didn't you take those down?
Or edit them to say, I want less pirate jokes.
Yeah.
This is how you abuse power.
Yes, yep. Indeed. I'm bad at abusing my power, apparently.
Do we want to talk about SR 2014 in Scorn?
Do we?
Or should we wait till Colin's on the show?
What do you want to talk about, Fox?
Yeah.
Let's talk about sex, baby.
Yep.
Let's talk about you and me.
Actually, this is your first time on the podcast. Is there something that you want to talk about or that you're curious about or have a question about or something we can help you with? Like, I know something that maybe, I'm not trying to put words in your mouth, but that you sometimes struggle with is there's a lot of, like, intense hatred for Cricks out there?
Yeah, definitely.
Do you ever feel like persecuted wrongly just because you put models down on the
table? I felt persecuted before I even started playing the faction. Yeah. Like, I picked it up, and then, like, someone's like, what are you playing? And then I'm like, Cricks. And they're like, oh, Cricks. And I'm like, okay, I'm sorry. Jeez.
Power-hungry munchkin.
Yeah, exactly.
I think I warned you that that was going to happen.
I mean,
just like I warned my brother about minions.
Well, the way I remember it was Fox, we were trying to get him, convince him to play the game for a long time, and he was like, well, yeah, the only faction I really, he's like, I really like Undead, you know, factions usually, yeah. but everyone yeah. seems to hate that faction in this yeah. game, so I don't know if I really want to. I don't want people to just be like, boo, you played the overpowered
faction. I didn't know how bad it was until I actually
I remember specifically
game.
Being like, oh, you'll be fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, so those of you out there...
And then I played against you, and you were yeah.
right. Yeah, he's like, Fox, you'll be fine. I hate you! You power-hungry son of a bitch!
I wasn't blaming him. I was just like, oh, freaking Texas Raiders!
All right, Fox, you can play Cricks. Don't play Pete Denny against me.
That happened!
That did happen. Yeah. Yeah. That did happen. I was like, you can play any caster but Pete Denny.
But I think it's important for us to remember when you have new players in a meta... that some people are naturally pulled to Cricks because they are the Undead faction.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that we shouldn't persecute those poor souls because they're not necessarily there just to pick up free wins with Lich.
Man, I just think of it as a bonus.
You love the tears of others, though. You are, Keith, you're not a normal human being. You have zero empathy.
I'm just saying there's a way to look at it.
You have a negative empathy score.
I'm just saying there's a way to look at it.
You are actually fed by other people's pain.
You don't have to be all down. Like, people don't like me because I play Cricks. You can be like, man, people legitimately don't like me when they play against my faction. That's amazing. You just have to get in there and be positive about things.
You're just like, you are suffering, therefore I am happy.
Yeah, I guess I'm a little different. I absolutely hate
Fox
it.
Fox is like a person who likes social interaction, not, well, you don't like this thing I'm doing? Screw you, I'm going to keep doing it. But yeah, no, that's something I've noticed at the shop, because Alex Grant also talked to me about that when he like originally started playing, because they're just... It happens, like... It's weird, because, like, we talk about it, and, like, higher-level players talk about it, and then somehow, like, newer players just, like, pick up on it, and they're like, we're Cricks. And I'm like, you literally don't know anything about this game. Shut up and just play. Like, just play. Don't make this experience unfun for the player who chose to play Cricks as his faction just because you like stupid swans and you want to have pretty Stormblades or whatever.
I think the thing is that happens. I honestly think that happens for every single faction. I got that a lot as a Trollblood player at the beginning of Mark II from certain different people.
Capkey, he's talking about you.
No, it was actually, and I love this guy, it was actually Brian Finken who cried the loudest. He would be like, oh, trolls are just... Oh, God, they're ridiculous. You know, they just can do everything.
Well, at the beginning of Mark II during the field test, there were some things that were, in fairness...
I'm just saying, like, even after the field test was out. And I've heard... And not just, like, I'm not laying it all on... It wasn't all on him. Like, even at conventions, there's been times where you put your models down and people are like, ugh, trolls. You know? I think... I know that happens to a lot of different people for a lot of different reasons. Like, even Kator, you know, people will be like, ugh. Iron Flesh, blue, you know.
Yeah, it's an asymmetric game. That's going to happen.
So I think just some people whine.
The worst thing about playing trolls...
But Cricks players definitely get more of that than anyone else.
I would think trolls would probably be second, especially in like newer playgroups, because someone's just like, well, you're just going to tough check that guy like three times and I'm going to lose the game.
I mean, we saw that at our local store from one of our players.
Yeah.
Right? Like oh, tough check.
Well, the first time you tough Epic Madrak three times or four times in a turn.
The best was my brother tough checking Carver like seven times. Against Charles, right? There's just no way my brother can lose. But he's just like, still alive, still alive, still alive, still alive, still alive. Charles is like, go? And my brother's like, do something worthless. Go. Still alive, still alive, still alive. Everybody else was like, what the hell is going on?
My favorite part about that game is on the podcast after we talked about that game, when I got to make fun of Charles because I was so disgusted with the way he played that matchup that I took his same army and played your brother.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then Charles was just like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. He made like 7 tough checks. I'm like, well, I guess you just got to play better.
And it happens.
That was so classic.
Like
is Charlie going to be at TempleCon?
No, but he will be at Adepticon.
I heard that Hungerford is not going to be at TempleCon.
Oh, thank God.
What? No, don't say that. I love that guy.
No more Little Billy.
Wasn't me. I didn't say it.
Hey, come hang out with us at TempleCon.
I will.
I won't.
Who are you talking to?
Well, the listeners.
Oh, okay.
We're going to be there.
He's breaking through the wall again.
Okay, John.
I guess we will.
I will see you in our room and on the car ride.
You guys are the worst.
Hey, John, you should hang out with me.
I would love to.
Okay.
You're one of my favorite people to hang out with, hence why we spend so many hours together every week recording this silly podcast.
Yeah.
All right, everybody. Yeah, thanks for joining us here in episode 158 of Me's on Minis. Check out all the things that I normally tell you to check out. You know what they are. This is Keith.
Crump.
Chad.
And John. Do we want to, before we
Fox.
Yep. Not me.
Before we sign out, do we want to just talk briefly about plans for the future? Since next week we're going to be gone for TempleCon, we won't be recording next week.
Yes. So next week will be a Muse week off.
Whoa.
Just to prep you for that.
Well, no, because we're recording episodes tonight that we'll go through.
Keep your eyes posted
next
Facebook.
Wednesday.
Keep your eyes posted to the Facebooks and the Twitters, though, because we're going to have updates from TempleCon all weekend long.
But we won't have, we will not have an episode next Friday, a week from Friday,
Roger,
or next Friday, this
TempleCon.
Coming Friday, in 2 days from when this releases.
Dude, whatever. No, I'll just take the podcast. Lance, you're going to be in town, right? We got a team. It'll be Lance, Fox, myself, Nate, Maxon.
Maxon's coming with us.
Ah, buns. It'll be...
Colin, are you coming?
Alex Graham.
Alex Graham.
Colin will be here.
Nice. Yeah, well, this is Colin.
Oh, you can take the podcast equipment if you guys want to record. That's fine.
It'll just be a hodgepodge of people who couldn't afford to go to TempleCon and people you've never heard of before.
Probably up the quality of the podcast.
But we're not currently planning on there being a podcast. There may be one. And then,
well, I mean, if our plan was to have Crump get it done. This is a bad plan, so. Let's be honest.
And after our hiatus, for at least we're going to try going back to a one-a-week format.
Yeah, at least for a little while. There'll be longer episodes, but...
We're going to go back up to...
48 minutes.
In the 145, maybe up as much as 2.5 hours. So it'll be a similar amount. We're just going to keep it all in one episode. It helps us stay a little bit more organic. Keeps our conversation flow going. We're going to do that for a while.
See how it goes.
If you have strong opinions about it, let us know. We will probably ignore you.
Keith will ignore you.
We'll take it very seriously, actually.
I will listen empathetically.
I certainly value it.
And then
it.
Ignore you.
But we're going to try that for a while and see how it goes with some thoughts towards the future. So
yeah. All right. I guess we're out.
Yeah, we already signed out.